There are persons in this world that are waiting for you to find your purpose, that they can live a better life. There are persons in this world who cannot come into their fulfillment unless you find yours, because you are a part of God's jigsaw puzzle.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the opening chapter of the Revelation, the Apostle John is commanded to write the things you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will be hereafter. Now, as chapter 4 opens, John is given another command: come up here. Dr. Raphael Thomas, the Lord's minister this evening, said in his opening remarks that chapter 4 marks a pivot in the Revelation, for John, as the representative of the true church, the redeemed body of Christ, is suddenly summoned to heaven, even into the very throne room of God, to view things that will surely take place in the future once the church has been raptured to glory. That awesome scene is the subject Dr. Thomas has been exploring with us as to its meaning and its implications. It has meaning for saint and sinner alike. So we invite you now to turn to your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4 once again and listen with us as Dr. Thomas brings the second part of his message, A Visit to the Throne Room of God. Here again is Dr. Thomas.
Why were they worshiping, or who were they worshiping? First of all, I would like to point out that they were worshiping a God who is holy, a thrice holy God. You see, there are many attributes of God, but never have we seen in Scripture where He is described as a God of love, 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 or a God of justice, justice, justice. But here the heavenly host is saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. It reminds us of when Isaiah caught a glimpse of what was happening in heaven. And he says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I want to remind us that our God is a holy God. Our God's standards are not based on what is happening in the contemporary world. He was holy, He is still holy, and He remains holy. The standards of holiness cannot be negotiated by man, cannot be adjusted by man. God's standards remain high, and it is our responsibility to subscribe or ascribe to the standards of a holy God, for He will not drop His standards to suit our contemporary world. He is a holy God. The Bible tells us that He is a God in whom there is no darkness at all. He does not lie. He cannot lie. He does not make mistake. He is a holy God. This is the God that we call you to worship, a holy God. But holiness is so important to our God that He had to do something about sinfulness. He sent Jesus Christ to die in this world to pay the price of our sin, so that we might be holy. For He desires for us also to be holy. Jesus says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And this morning, as you look at the holiness of God, I believe like Isaiah, you are saying, woe is me, for I am undone. I have made so many mistakes in my life. I have failed God so many times. I have erred because I am human. But I want to tell you that God has provided a remedy for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all unrighteousness. This morning, my friend, I remind you of 1 John 1 verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, God has made provision for us that we don't have to try and work our way out of sin. We don't have to try to do good deeds to outweigh our bad deeds, because we could never satisfy God by our works. But thank God there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. We can be holy simply by accepting the remedy of the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses. It purifies. It makes us holy. And when the blood is applied to our hearts, to our lives, God doesn't see us as we used to be, but he sees us through the blood. He deals with us based on what Jesus Christ has done for us to make us holy. So we worship him today because he is holy. We worship him today because he is Trinity. The three words there reminds us of the Trinity. Holy, holy, holy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are all here in the book of Revelation, and especially chapter 3 and 4, where worship is taking place. We see God the Father seated on the throne. In chapter 5, that will be devoted to the Son. But the Holy Spirit is there as well in heaven, as we see. So we worship a God who is holy. We worship a God who is Trinity. We worship a God who is almighty. In verse 8 it says, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God is almighty. You have many persons who are mighty. The devil himself may be mighty. But there is only one who is almighty. He is the God, the creator of heaven and earth. Now, the word used for almighty in this context is used 10 times in the New Testament. And out of the 10 times in the New Testament, it is used 9 times in Revelation. So I would like us to take a quick look at some of the uses in Revelation. We see here in Revelation 1:8, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's Revelation 4:8. Revelation 11:17. And in Revelation 11, verse 17, we hear the word of the Lord saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and is to come. Revelation 15, verse 3. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Revelation 16, verse 7. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. That's Revelation 16, verse 7. Revelation 16, verse 14. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. There is coming that day when God Almighty himself will be engaged in the battle of Armageddon. Revelation 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it was, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and the sound of many thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. That's the same word. The Lord Almighty reigns. He is the all-powerful God. Not just omnipotent, but omniscient. That means all-knowing. And omnipresent, all-powerful. This is the Almighty God. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16. Or reading from verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you are making notes, I will just tell you Revelation 19, 15 and 21, verse 22. That's Revelation 19, 15 and Revelation 21, verse 22. But here we have the scriptures affirming that God is Almighty. He sits upon his throne and he has sovereign rule over heaven and earth. He is the creator who determines what happens in this world. He is in sovereign control. So this is the God we worship. Let us worship the God of heaven, who is holy, who is Trinity, who is Almighty. But also in verse 8, we find that he is eternal, because the Bible says, who was and is to come. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. We worship a God who is eternal. He is not confined to time nor space. He transcends time. He is from the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and end. He is the eternal God. The Bible also tells us that he is worthy. In 11, verse 11, you are worthy, O Lord. In other words, you deserve all praise and all glory. You deserve it. Now, if somebody deserves something and we do not give it to them, we are withholding that which belongs to them. Now, if you should work for your employer and you deserve your pay, and at the end of the week, he should say to you, God bless you. You deserve your pay. You are worthy of it. It belongs to you. No, God is worthy of all our praise. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Why then should we withhold the praise that is due unto his name? It is for this purpose that we were created, that we may worship him. John Piper says, missions exist because worship does not. In other words, we were created to worship. And because people are not worshiping the living God, that is why we engage in missions, to help people to worship the living God. Because God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In fact, the Bible tells us the Father seeketh true worshipers. He seeketh such to worship him. So if you are noting, we are worshiping God because he is holy, because he is Trinity, because he is Almighty, because he is the God of eternity, because he is worthy. We also worship God because of his creative activity. He made this heaven. He made the earth. Without him was not anything made that was made. He spoke and called this world into existence. There is a supreme being who started this world, who is in charge of this world. He not only created it, but he sustains this universe. He holds the world in the palm of his hands. And we worship the living God because of his sovereignty. The Bible tells us, "For you created all things, and by your will," note it, "by your will, they exist and were created." This world was created by God, but it was created for a purpose. You were created by God, and you are created for a purpose. Have you found your purpose in life? Have you embraced that purpose for which you were created? Have you yielded yourself to the sovereign will of God? Have you said to God, "Here am I, Lord. Take control of my life. I know I was created in your image. I am placed in this world for a purpose." There are persons in this world that are waiting for you to find your purpose, that they can live a better life. There are persons in this world who cannot come into their fulfillment unless you find yours, because you are a part of God's jigsaw puzzle. And the whole picture must be put together piece by piece. Are you in God's jigsaw puzzle? You may be the jig or the saw, but you are somewhere in there. May we find our place in God's plan for this world. Is there somebody who will say to God today, "I yield myself to you, sovereign God. You have the whole picture, and I'm yielding myself to you. You know the beginning from the end. You can see around the corner. And I know I can trust you with my life. For you are holy, you are Trinity, you are almighty. You are the God of eternity. You are worthy. We worship you for your creative activity, and we worship you because of your sovereignty. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise." Earlier we asked the question, what is the reason for the book of Revelation? And we said it is not just for information. It is for us to make preparation for the future. We get a glimpse of what's coming in the future. God is still in control of history. And God has a plan for this world. Have you surrendered yourself to God's plan? I said there are some things that belong to God. The secret things belong to God. But God has revealed enough for us to make us prepared. The story is told of the student who did not prepare for examination. And when the student walked into the exam room, he had to answer 50 questions, and they all had the same answer. Only God knows. And so on the day when the exam results came out and the student went up to get his paper, the teacher had graded the paper. And the teacher says, "God gets an A, you get an F." There are some things that we must be prepared for. Are you ready for heaven? Have you made reservation for heaven? There is more to it than this life. Are you prepared for the afterlife? If you should die today, where will you spend eternity? On Friday, Velda and I got a pin with two question marks on it. And one of the question marks is the question, have you come to the place in life where you know for sure if you were to die today, you would go to heaven.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.